where once lay the small toothed comb. A delicately carved teak stand atop the dressing table holds her pick where a small toothed comb might well have been, had she not seen royal women with skin dark brown as hers at an exhibit of things from Egyptian tombs, where among artifacts encased in glass, an ivory pick lay next to a wig of braided kinky hair and black that strangely took her back to years before and a time so early in her life she could barely recall, but the images of herself as a child with naps that drew ridicule as much as lint, and the time her head spent held in the vice of her mama's hands to keep her still as the hot comb and oily potions worked to drive away the kinks as unwanted as evil spirits. But the sisters on the wall with their regal bearing loomed from ancient paint and stone to preen the thick plumage of their heads, a nappiness so grand as the striding of cranes on the banks of the Nile to release a woman from the burden of false and ugly self-image cast upon her back as a child by the Barbie doll apparitions of an enslaved people's pain. Aunt Ruthie, the shutters on the window clatter, the hail dash against the pane, a spider do the funky butt dance on the sill, while a cockeyed sparrow duck his head under one wing, wishing the hail was rain. The old sofa dip like a swayback horse, years done wore away the flowers, roses made out of thread rubbed down to the cotton stuffing, and grease spots mark the places where many folks laid their heads. An old face squint toward the window, a gnarled finger give the spider a tap, send it trapeze and cross the glass, it fall when the silk rope snap. Photos of loved ones on the coffee table, entombed beneath the spotless glass, Aunt Ruthie can't recall the names too good, so many years gone past. The teapot whistle in an otherwise silent place. Aunt Ruthie's bones too tired to creak. Things Aunt Ruthie liked to say, her mouth too tired to speak. The doorbell, the telephone, neither rings. The mailbox stands empty outside, its door dropped open like a sagging lip. Inside, Aunt Ruthie shifts her aching body to ease the pain in her hip. Night falls, the hail subsides. Aunt Ruthie drops her face, her lashes tangle in the dark, hurrying sleep along as a mouse crouched down in front of the stove to listen to the teapot song. Thank you. great Batalur. We were pigeons, Malcolm, congregating at the park benches of America to peck at America's wealth. But you were Batalur. You did not coo at men's feet, gratefully bobbing your head for castaway scraps. We were wrens and sparrows, good survivors, good at nervous flight from any sound and sight of fearsome threat. We could not, would not hold our ground and fight. Perhaps you feared like us, but you did not quiver, but thrust forward sharp talons boldly. Yours were not the frantic chirpings of timidity and self-doubt, but the righteous clamor of indignation. We were ducklings waddling in shame, thinking ourselves ugly, seeking disguise and feathers that were foreign to us. But you hid yourself from no one, but sailed in the daylight, stretching your wings to soar. We were those who begged, Malcolm, who could not find courage nor faith in ourselves, who could not peer into reflecting pools, nor look each other in the face and see the beauty that was ours. But for you, Malcolm, but for you, great Batalur, eagle of Africa, still your spirit flies. Central Park that sings your praises. But the old men under the branches of the acacia, under the circling vultures, under the straight up sun, say, does not move in an arrow line, but is stolen in a torrid swirl to spin with locusts and dust, to catch on the barbs of thorny brush, to rattle with pebbles in a cyclone of modernity, words striking the ears of the young ones traveling to town in jeeps, ATVs, their hands swat at the ears as if to dissuade mosquitoes, such that an already diluted voice is further dispersed toward the abandoned termite mounds, toward the meerkat's dens, toward the wilderness of scrub and endless gullies, and the young ones hear but the bumpity bump of tires against the stony path that snakes to the city, muffling the viper's hiss. Winnie, you see this woman walking among the people with a big smile bright as the gleam of elephant grass wet with dew, stretching high to wave till longer burst the morning, a smile so lover wide. You see this woman walking among the people, wonder how she hugged and kissed them all, hundreds and the thousands, like a mama, like a sister, like a wife, and not run out of love, like the earth spin round and round and not run out of turns, not go empty of the seasons. You see this woman walking among the people, laughing pure and sparkling as the mountain waters from the spring, bubbling cheerful as they flow. You see this woman standing face to face with the police, facing them toe to toe with a flame in her eyes, searing as the fire on a savannah blazing, holding her ground like the lioness her cubs protecting. Her pretty mouth set stern to defy, in a strength so resolute against the brutal winds of blowing howling racist scourge upon the land, a baobab tree resisting. You see this woman among the people with a smile so bright as the gleam of elephant grass wet with dew, stretching high to wave to longer burst the morning, say, Aman.
Taking attendance. No, I wasn't there up front with Queen and Zynga, as a pelting hailstone pounding cry of the hooves of her and her warrior steeds filled the air before the pale and ghastly faces of the Portuguese, whose eyes swelled with a thick fluid of yeasty fear from the sight of one thought dead, charging African woman apparition at the head of relentless black faces looming near to crush, to avenge, to defend the lady and the land. No, I wasn't there, but would like to been. No, I wasn't there when Akhenaten caught the sun full in his face and felt the magic of the grand design, the beauty of the master plan of Ra beset his heart to spin like gold and silk his words, to weave and praise his reverence of the maker of his days and the sweet, sweet waters of the Nile, and all the things that suckled of the milk of life. No, I wasn't there, but would like to been. No, I wasn't there on the shores of Lake Turkana, or in the gorge of Old Levi 100 100,000 or 500,000 or a million or so years ago when we hoisted our knuckles from the ground to walk straight up, to hew our tools from wood and bone, to hearken sparks from stone, to coax the flame from twigs and grass and sculpt the shape of words from formless grunts. No, I wasn't there when we arrived, but would like to be in. No, I wasn't there in those glory days, in those times before crucifixes, crescents and guns, slavery and colonialism, and other rank and file forces gathered like clouds of factory soot to hug our son with burly arms in an embrace of treachery and outrage. I wasn't there, but we were, and we are poised to walk straight up once again. She colored milk chocolate brown, and skin looked just as smooth. Make you think a candy bar come to life when she move. Her face so damn pretty when it strike your eyes, you got to blink once or twice and wonder if she wearing a disguise. She walked with long, graceful strides and a natural rhythm in the swing of her hips, like a slow walking blues under saucy sax riffs. Her lovely black naps stand in a crowd, tied in a ribbon of red, so loud 'cause she's proud of the hair on her head, of her African nose, lips and eyes, of her African hips and her thighs, proud and confident of everything she got from the continent. If it's true, looks can kill, you can think what you will, and forget what I've said, 'cause you just heard a voice from the dead. Bloodlines. When we escaped the plantations of Florida and ran among the trees toward swampy ground to trudge through mud and memories so fresh of bondage and of blood, we found your arms swung open wide as gates to refuge from a weary fugitive's parade. But there are those who would have us not remember this. You and we did not only hide and live in friendship side by side, we both, being people of the drum, did not our hearts thump out a battle song to drive our feet to march against the pale-faced ones whose stomachs could not be filled, who had stolen us from our motherland and, too, were stealing yours from you. But there are those who would have us not remember this. With your Comanche warriors in Texas, we fought them. with your Seminole warriors in Florida, we fought them. With your Tuscarudos warriors in South Carolina, we fought them. Scant are the places where we did not together fight them. But there are those who would have us not remember this, who would stuff our recollections full with the nightmarish deeds of those of ours who betrayed our common cause, the Creek slaveholders and mercenaries among the Choctaws, Buffalo soldiers who valued our blood less than the pale faces' money and their laws, and others who could not tell their enemies from their friends. There are those who would have us remember these as heroes. But the vistas of yesterday are wide, and we do not stand awake with one eye closed. On miners' feet, I recall when it was reds and trees, yellow jackets and robe. Of course, there was always smack, hardcore stuff for the hardcore. For them on the edge, on the nodding out periphery. But now the edges blur and everything becomes the middle in mining towns where everyone can dig for the rock, where some get paid and others inevitably get laid to rest amid the stinging smoke of crack pipes glowing in rooms and streets where blood-smeared money changers' hands and feet laced up in Air Jordans and British Knights jump and jump but can't out sky despair. Metrovision. Me and sweet Josephine were just standing there at the corner of chaos and confusion, bumping our gums about what was going on, and the ambulances was whizzing by, their sirens singing and tires screaming against the simmering summer street, with the back doors hanging open so the peoples couldn't pay their bills, couldn't make something like a graceful exit before getting to the hospital. Where the inhospitable in white carrying clipboards would press some papers in their faces and aim their Adidas at their butts saying, time for you to go, cause if you wanna dance you got to pay the band. But don't no busted up bleeding peoples broke or not wanna dance, they just wanna live. And this woman standing at the bus stop sign was wearing some high spike heels and some braces so her ankles wouldn't bend. She was trying to be fashion, but there was nothing to be gained cause she was in pain. As the bright orange light from the government building was flashing, letting us know we should be on alert, cause the gamma rays was getting to the earth much more than they should have, cause the ozone was thin when it should have been thick but wasn't. So it weren't no wonder that some peoples was walking around with pencils taped all about their clothes, not wanting to be dead and trying to protect themselves from the sun by surrounding themselves in lead. Thank you.
Thank you. Further ado, my great friend and a man who sees to it that my wife gets food and water, as Sylvia, who is the main thing. Thank God for his wife, because she's a great woman, because alone with Ed is not, you know. I spent an evening with